Hello, welcome to the Monday, November 25th, 2013 edition of the Sad Center Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and I'm there recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Well, let's start today with a diary by Rick about Port Zero denial of service attacks. Now, what Rick was seeing here in his software that measures the incoming traffic was that there was an awful lot of traffic coming in on Port Zero. He measured traffic volume sort of in the 2 gigabits per second range, which of course now is pretty significant. What he suspects here is that this may not actually be a Port Zero, but instead fragmented traffic. One thing we have seen quite a bit is that reflective denial of service attacks that use DNS frequently use EDNS Zero, which is a feature that allows for UDP packets up to 4 kilobytes in size. Those packets, of course, are usually fragmented. Now, once a packet is fragmented, then everything past the first fragment no longer contains a UDP or TCP header. In this case, of course, a UDP, and then there wouldn't be a port. So it is possible that your logging software just assigns this to port zero. Well, I think the real story here is you have to have the ability to capture packets in these cases to really make the decision what's going on and apply appropriate filters. You don't want to tell your upstreams that they should block port zero, and then that doesn't really make a difference because, well, port zero is not actually being used. Of course, you could also check if the port zero traffic correlates with, for example, a spike in port 53 traffic. You should still see that traffic as well, because the first fragment should still make it. So if you have a rapid increase in port zero, check what other port is increasing and look at the source port. It's the source port here that matters because these would be DNS responses, of course. Another typical sort of mechanism that Rick mentions here is jargon. That's sometimes also used, particularly for a smaller denial of service attacks. And then we got a great diary by Kevin about planning for failure, which really examines the defense in depth principle. And just with the idea in mind that you plan that whatever you're doing will eventually fail and you need to have a backup. You need to have a plan B. You need to be able to react to this failure. I would actually put it that far as saying that you can't really plan a security strategy and architecture without also planning for incident response, because eventually you may get breached and you have to respond to the incident. Great article that Kevin wrote here, so take a look. It's really hard to do it justice by sort of quickly summarizing it here. And Larry Seltzer at CDNet is trying to follow a story that really hasn't gotten a lot of attention yet, and that's the fact that when Mavericks, OS X Mavericks, the latest version of OS X came out, it fixed a number of security bugs, but as of now, the last version of OS X before Mavericks, Mountain Lion, neither Lion, has gotten those security patches and is still presumed to be vulnerable for these problems. Pretty interesting insofar as in the past it was Apple's practice to at least support 2 versions back. So this would get us back to OS X Lion and Mountain Lion. In addition, whenever there was a new big release like Mavericks, there used to be a patch for the older releases updating these security vulnerabilities. Not clear what's happening here. According to Larry, he got a reply from Apple stating that nothing has changed about their support policies for their operating systems, but so far we are still missing those particular patches. And while we're talking about OS X, just came across a real nice talk by someone from Google at a Usenix conference about how they at Google are managing their OS 10 systems. Some interesting tidbits there, for example, how to do sort of enterprise-wide key escrow for FileVault. Google released the tool there. A couple other things. So if you have to manage a large number of OS 10 systems, you may want to take a quick look at that presentation. And finally, we are tuning the ISC website this week. We are mostly done with it over the weekend and now mostly sort of in the debugging phase. We are using this sort of slow week of Thanksgiving for it. If you do experience any problems, let us know. There are really two things we're trying to accomplish here. First of all, we're trying to increase the response time of the website to make it faster, in particular for our API. And secondly, we're sort of tuning our SSL configuration to be more up to date. If you do experience a problem, you can also go to dshield.org, and that site is still running the old configuration right now. And please let us know if you run into any problems. Well, that's it for today. So thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.